So I'll just go through that reading again. Matthew 28, 1 to 10 and 16 to 20. So the message is from today. So after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." "Do not be afraid," the angel tells the woman that first Easter morning, "for Jesus has been raised just as he said." That is what this day is all about. The angel's message to those women that first Easter is God's message to us this day. Do not be afraid, for Jesus has been raised from the dead. Easter means that Jesus is alive. This means that we don't have to be afraid anymore. Easter makes it possible for us to live our lives unafraid, not by erasing our fears, but by transforming them. I want to show you just how Easter does this, but to do that, we have to back up and put ourselves in the shoes of those who are there. Just as we did on Friday, let's put ourselves in the picture. This time with the women who bravely went to Jesus' tomb on that first Easter morning. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary had every reason to be afraid that morning. A man they admired and loved and who they had thought was their long-awaited Messiah was dead. He was the one that everyone had placed their hopes in. A true, gracious, strong, magnificent yet humble leader. And he had died in the most cruel and awful way imaginable. He had been crucified. Not only was he gone, but his death was public. He was ridiculed and tortured. What did his death mean for them? What would come next for them? All of their hopes for the future were wrapped up in his ability to lead, protect, and save them. Would the Roman authorities begin executing them and all of his followers? The apostles were so afraid that they locked themselves away in the upper room. But not these women. They approached the tomb that first Easter morning, no doubt with fear, but also with great courage, a demonstration of their enormous love. Now continue to walk with them and imagine what it would have been like when they arrived at the tomb, only to find themselves in the middle of a great earthquake, an angel of the Lord descending from heaven, his appearance like lightning, and the guards shaking and becoming like dead men. No wonder the angel began by telling the women not to be afraid. But do we really think that their fears were suddenly erased or that their fears were transformed? No longer afraid of the guards or the Roman authorities, but now afraid of God's awesome power. If you've experienced a huge electrical storm, and I'm guessing not many of us would have been in an earthquake, you have a sense of that power, something that's incredible to watch, as long as you're inside, protected, and some distance away. But these women were in the thick of it, right there. They were now filled with a holy fear, the fear of the Lord. The angel shows them the tomb. "He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come see the place where he lay." Imagine their wide eyes, their amazement to see the empty tomb. A fulfillment of a promise they may not have heard or believed. Now stay with the women a moment longer and join them as they leave the tomb with instructions from the angel. "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead." And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. They left quickly, we are told, with fear and great joy. Their fears, in other words, were not erased, but they were transformed. Now their fear contains great joy. It has become a fearful joy. Imagine them tripping over their own feet, trying to get to the disciples quickly to share the news. Jesus actually met them. Imagine it. Someone you had loved deeply and lost, expecting never to see again, and here he was. They fell on his feet and worshipped him. He confirmed all that the angel had said. Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers. Now they could go to the disciples with absolute authority. Not only had they seen the empty tomb, they had seen the risen Jesus. They continued on with their task. And that is what God wants for us today. A fearful joy, or a joyful fear, a transformed fear, now filled with great joy. Not a Good Friday fear, but an Easter fear. Not a crucifixion fear, but a resurrection fear. Not a fear rooted in despair, but a fear rooted in faith. A fear, in other words, that it has passed through the very worst that life can throw at us, and so it is now a fear mixed with a joy that nothing in life can take away from us. The resurrection of our Lord fills us with both a holy fear and a heavenly joy. A joy that nothing in life can take away, because it is a joy based on that wonderful Easter fear. That is the true gift of Easter. It makes it possible for us to live unafraid. This Easter gift of joyful fear rolls away the stone from whatever tomb we find ourselves in. Whatever your tomb might be, whatever it is that is keeping you from living the life for which God created you and to which God calls you, the fearful joy of Easter can roll away that stone and offer you a brand new life. A life where your fears are transformed and where your joy is complete. But how does Easter do that? It's a fair question. An empty tomb can't do that, but a risen Lord can. When the women left the tomb that first Easter morning, they were met by Jesus himself. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and sisters to go to Galilee. There they will see me." We are beginning to get an answer to how Easter transforms our fear. It is found in Galilee. We might wonder, why Galilee? Why did Jesus tell them to go there? Why not stay in Jerusalem, where they are safe? Why not the upper room or the temple? Why Galilee, 100 kilometres away, so far removed from the miracle of Easter? The answer, I believe, is quite simple. Galilee is their home. Jesus is telling them to go back to their families, back to their jobs, back to their daily lives, and there they are promised to see their risen Lord. The fearful joy of Easter, in other words, is not found by escaping our lives, it is found by experiencing Jesus' presence in the midst of our lives. Easter means that not just that Christ is risen, but that he is with us right now and always, wherever we find ourselves. Easter means that we can expect to be met by Jesus in places where we least expect to find him. For Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, that place was his tomb. But what about you? Where do you least expect to find Jesus? It might be in a hospital room or a funeral home. It might be at work or school, or it might be in your own home. I'd like to give that place a name today, and I'd like to name it Galilee, the place where your fear and your dread threaten to overtake your hope and your faith. Galilee, the place where you least expect to be met by our risen Lord. Go there with me for a moment. Go to that place where your fear and your dread are greatest. Go in your minds to your Galilee. Remember the angel spoke to Mary Magdalene and the other Mary at the tomb on that first Easter morning. Do not be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. There in Galilee, in the very place where you might least expect to find Jesus, there you will see him. There in that very place where your fear and your dread threaten to overtake your hope and your faith, there you will see Jesus. That is the angel's promise to you today, and that is our risen Lord's promise to you today. And Jesus met the disciples there. And the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him and said, "All authority in heaven." When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." He gave them purpose to continue to make disciples, but also a promise: "I am with you always." Easter, in other words, is about much more than an empty tomb. It is about our risen Lord who promises to be with us. Easter is about Jesus coming to us in the midst of our fear and our dread and our despair to give us renewed courage and hope and joy. Jesus is with us. So what do we need to fear any longer? The greatest of all fears is the fear of death, and our Saviour has conquered that. So what do we need to fear? Being alone? Jesus promises that we are never alone. He is with us always. So what do we need to fear? A health concern? A situation at work or at school? Do not be afraid. Christ is risen, and you will find him there. There you will see him, just as he promised. So what do we need to fear? There is no place we can go where Jesus has not already gone. He has literally gone to hell and back for us. He is with us now. So what do we need to fear? This goes against the message that we so often hear everywhere else. Much of what we hear in this world makes us afraid. Fear causes us to stay tuned to the news. Fear surrounds the upcoming election. Fear of a break-in causes us to buy that new security camera. Fear sells. And so we hear over and over again that we should be afraid, or that we should do this or buy that to deal with our fear. And all of this fear can cause us to stay locked up in our own upper rooms with stones rolled over our doors. Fear can prevent us from living with joy and with love and with peace, which is why it is so important today to remember the great miracle of Easter, that the Son of God lives and is with us. And so we don't have to be afraid anymore. Jesus is alive, and he is there in your Galilee, in your place of trouble, trial, loneliness, sickness, fear. He is there, bringing new life out of death, new faith out of fear, new hope out of despair, and new light out of darkness. And because he is there, we don't have to be afraid. Our worldly fear is transformed into heavenly joy, the joy of the Lord. We know the reason Jesus went to the cross was to pay the price for our sins. His resurrection assures us of his and ultimately our victory over death. Simply put, Jesus died so we would not have to experience eternal death. He rose again so that we could experience eternal life. In that well-known verse, John 3:16, Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Today we celebrate much more than an empty tomb. In fact, we celebrate even more than the resurrection of our Lord. We celebrate and give thanks for his living presence among us and his promise to be with us always until the end of the age. Faith in him means freedom, a relationship with our Heavenly Father, grace and peace beyond understanding. Wherever our days take us, our risen Lord goes before us. Wherever our Galilee is, Jesus is there, just as he promised on that first Easter morning. Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and sisters to go to Galilee. There they will see me. For Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And I pray that you like better yet. Father God, we just give you thanks that you loved us so much, that you sent your only Son to die on that cross to pay for our sins. But on that third day, he rose again and he is with us still. Every minute of every day, wherever we are. And we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.